Now, as I begin here, I've got quite a statement to give you guys. If you guys are watching online, if you're standing up, you may want to sit down for this one because it's quite a statement. Just the other day, and this is a very true story, just the other day, someone that I love very, very much, this is a true story again, actually told me that I had bad breath. Could you imagine? I was blown away. I was blown away because I was humiliated because I was completely unaware of the very real fact that I had bad breath. Imagine that. I thought I was good with my breath. I thought I was good. Have you ever been in my shoes? Have you? It's a very real question. Now, here's the thing. We all know how to check our breath, right? You simply cup your hand, you put it before your mouth, and you breathe out, and you inhale through your nose to smell your breath. It's not comfortable. It's not flattering. But it's honest. It's honest. And that simple act is what God expects of us that we do every day with our lives. So I've titled the sermonette, "The Sin You Can't Smell." The sin you can't smell. Today I'm going to discuss the slippery nature of sin, and I'm going to pick on two of them, that is, especially self-righteousness and pride, what I like to call the selfie mode. You may have heard of that before. I'm picking on these two sins simply because they are the most pervasive and can be the hardest sins to self-diagnose, especially among God's people. The thing is, sin, especially self-righteousness and pride, are very much like bad breath. They are. It's very difficult for us to know that we have it, but everyone around us are keenly aware that we have it, right? And there are very few people who know how to lovingly and kindly tell us that we do have it. Now, that's a bummer because God hates it when we go around thinking that we're a good person, that we're good. That attitude is one of the most fatal attitudes a true Christian can have, especially in this world, especially as we approach the spring holy days. Why? Well, because when we think we're good, we stop checking. We stop checking. And that, my friends, is the point. We stop holding our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions up to God's word and the example that Jesus gave us. It's the same way we stop holding our hand to our mouth to see if we smell fine, right? It's a tough subject because it's incredibly slippery. But Jesus was very clear about it in Luke 18. You can go there if you want to follow along. In Luke 18, in verses 9 through 14, Luke 18, 9 through 14, Jesus presented this parable to those who were confident of their own righteousness. It's a very well-known parable. Now, who is he talking about for those who are confident in their own righteousness? Well, I'd say the majority of the people in this world, and maybe, just maybe, quite a few of us in the church today. This problem has afflicted God's church ever since its inception, all the way up to the middle 300 ADs and beyond. It's, you know, when Paul had mightily faced this subject because the new Gentiles were being somewhat persecuted to some degree by the converted Jews of the time because they didn't like all these Jews coming in, right? So they felt superior to the Gentile converts. Now, if you were to ask anyone on the street today, bring this a little closer now, if you were to ask anyone on the street today if they were a good person, what do you think they'd say? Absolutely. You bet I am. And I guarantee you they would think that they were good enough to make it to their version of heaven, right? Before we get a little too crazy here, let's bring this a little closer to home. Have you ever caught yourself, now be honest with yourself, have you ever caught yourself sitting at home, at work, or even in your car, and most importantly, here in services, and you start thinking, man, that dude, that guy, that lady, they are incredibly messed up. Incredibly messed up. I am so glad I'm not like them. And maybe you didn't say it out loud. Maybe you didn't even form the words. But in your heart, there it was. It was a subtle, very brief comparison, a quiet relief, if you will, that our troubles are not theirs. And in that moment, without realizing it, we may be standing a little closer to the Pharisee of Luke 18 with incredibly bad breath. That's such a dangerous state of mind because it's exactly the mindset of the Pharisee in Luke 18. Exactly. We all know the parable, but we must never, never diminish its importance to us, especially in this modern era of the church. It's the parable of the two men who go to the temple to pray. You remember that? The first, the Pharisee, who is a strict observer of the law and of man-made ordinances that separated him from the ordinary person. The second person, the tax collector. The tax collector, who is a man who used his position to extort and steal for a living. No different than a modern-day politician. Luke 18, 11. Luke 18, verse 11, we read, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." The Greek implies that he was talking about himself to himself. It's pretty amazing. He was talking to himself. He wasn't praying to God at all. He was listing all of his great qualities out loud so that everyone could see how wonderful he was, right? Now, the tax collector, verse 13, let's go to him. The tax collector, he stood far off. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his chest because he was so grieved by his sin. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Many translations say, "the sinner, the sinner." He could smell his own bad breath. He could smell it. And he didn't try to explain it away. He didn't say, "Well, you know what? Everybody does this, right? Everybody does it. So what's the big deal?" I mean, man, I've heard that so many times growing up in the church, even recently. I mean, I've heard a guy say, "Man, God knows my needs. He doesn't care if I sleep around." That's true. I've heard that. Man, that's such a bad attitude to have right now. He said, "God, if ever there was a sinner, I am he." So mercy. He was crying out for mercy. So what is mercy? What is mercy? It's not getting the punishment you deserve, isn't it? The word used here for mercy means to make atonement, to cover over by sacrifice. And God said in verse 14, he's saying, "God, let me get back up here." He was saying, "God, I have no way to fix this. There's no way that I can cover it. Only you can cover my sin." And God said in verse 14, this man, rather than the other, went home justified. Why? Why did God say that? Because God does not justify people who think they're clean. He justifies people who know they're not and are desperately trying to change their state. This is why the spring holidays matter so much to us. It's incredibly vital. This is the uncomfortable reality is this. You ready? That the search for leaven is a search for self-deception. Plain and simple. Did you guys get it? I'm going to repeat it. The search for leaven is a search for self-deception. It is God telling us, "Hold your life up to my word and smell." And smell. Not to condemn us, not even close, but to drive us to repentance and then mercy. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament preached that sermon. They did. Every time there was a sacrifice, there was a very serious sermon on mercy. Very serious sermon on mercy. The idea was that when you sinned, you had to bring the sweet, humble, unblemished animal to the altar. You would take it to the altar and place your hands on the animal's head, right? And then the vivid picture was that you're placing your sin, everything you did wrong, on this poor, blameless, unblemished, sweet animal. And then the priest would come by, sorry to say this, but it's true, he would come by and slit the animal's throat. And then the animal would fall to the ground dead. And why? Why? It's because of your sin and only your sin. Not anybody else's. No one made you do this, but your sin. It's a very real picture of that poor animal just paid for what I did wrong. No one else but me. That's the picture of mercy. It was a beautiful picture of the perfect lamb to come mentioned in Isaiah 53:5. Of the one who would be pierced for their transgressions. Foretelling of that day when the perfect lamb of God would come to this earth to atone for our sins as the perfect sacrifice for all who would humbly come before him and repent of our sins. And here's the kicker. And then turn from it. Not just say I'm sorry. Not just to say I'm sorry. But to turn from that sin. That is why we dig. That is why we search. That is why we never settle for I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Because thinking we smell fine doesn't mean that we do. Not even close. Romans 3:23 speaks to that rather nicely. It's a memory verse. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Finally, let's look at Luke 18:14. It says, Luke 18:14. It says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, because rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself, what? Will be exalted. Now, God is calling us not to compare ourselves to other people, but to measure ourselves by Christ and Christ alone, and to have the mind of Christ, which is based on humility and love. And when we do, we will then and only then smell the truth. And that is when self-deception finally dies. And after true repentance, we thankfully fall on mercy. Thankfully. Now, this whole process is simply designed to humble us. To humble us. Because it protects us from self-deception. That's the whole goal. This is the time in which we should be willing and able to smell our very own bad breath and realize that it is only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, coupled with complete repentance and true humility, that leads to justification before God. And then and only then will our breath be sweet, sweet as honey.